Just another day in the economic miracle that is Bush America.
Oh, I tell you, the fun part I'm having right now is I've got the sound down, and I'm sitting here watching Tweety Bird, and he's sitting here, had to run the poll where Hillary's ahead, and you can just see almost the veins in his neck, you know?
Oh, I know. It gets him all titillated.
It's one of the things. It's like I said, if the man wasn't a newsman, we could get him arrested for stalking without trying really hard. And it's like, I'm still surprised that somebody hadn't, with this, some of the sexual harassment.
Well, we could get it. We could get him arrested.
Something against him.
We could get him arrested for stalking, or we could get him a job as a fluffer. Either one, you know.
Ooh, but no, I was just amazed watching the all this coverage this week of the OxyContin kid, and it's amazed me. Whenever I've switched over just to sample, see what's going on over on the Noise Channel, that amazingly enough, apparently no one's playing the tape. You know, whenever they're talking about it, but apparently no one will play it. It's like last week with O'Reilly. You know, it's like, you know, he says people, you know, take it out of context, but he won't play the tape.
Well, you know, I talked with a right winger last night who explained to me very patiently that Bill O'Reilly was doing God's work by making his weird, xenophobic, bigoted 60, 70, and 80 year old demographic not so afraid of the scary black people. And that it was mainstream America's fault for taking umbrage at his condescending comments. So
I'm,
you know,
sorry, but to me, subtle racism is worse than open racism. At least open racism, you can go back and forth with somebody about it. With something like that, it's like, well, Mr. O'Reilly, if you went to an Italian restaurant, would you be surprised that a gunfight didn't break out between men in pinstripe suits? You know, if you went to a Chinese restaurant, are you waiting for a couple of Jackie Chan fights?
I know. Well, look, the same thing with Rush. You know, beyond the phony soldiers comment, what I think is far more stunning, and I mentioned this a couple of nights ago, is the fact that the guy got caught editing his own content.
He cut off like a minute and 45 off the front of the tape.
Yeah.
And the thing is, no one's bringing it up, you know, in the, as I call them, the lamestream media. It's like, isn't it amazing, though, how he can alter tapes and run them, and all of a sudden, everybody's saying, "Oh, we took him out of context."
Well, but, you know, I get, you know,
it matters. Don't take you out of context.
Him being a Republican and all, I guess it's just a little miracle that he didn't have a 17-minute gap.
This too is true.
Sorry, that was just too easy. Yeah, too easy.
But you know, it's just some of that. And I'm just wondering if they're going to get up on their hind legs and do something with this S-chip bill now. If they can shame them. It's like I say, I'd be running the tape whenever they have the arguments down in the pit this time, because I want to see them argue against giving money, giving $35 billion to children when, oh, by the way, we're asking for $180 billion to send over to Iraq. And that's going to fund the S-chip thing for like 2 or 3 years, I think.
Five, I believe.
Okay. But I mean, it's going to fund that for 5 years, and apparently every other quarter we're going to pull up, you know, W's money man goes up there and says, "I need another $90 billion." It's like, well, so do we.
Yeah, make
that
it
a, enough. We got something to spend it on.
Make it 100 and deliver it in one of those semi truckloads in the shrink wrap plastic, would you, George? I could. Look, I'm not a greedy man. I'll take 10.
It's one of those things. But like I say, this is one where, like the on the side about the timetables and everything, you know, when the Republicans, people are saying, well, the Republicans are going to fight it now, and they'll go, you know, once they get past the primaries, they'll be in favor of it, you know, they'll turn around. It's like, run the tape right now. I want tape on all these people saying they're against it. So in 6 months, when they say, I'm for it now, and they said, how many kids had to die so you could find your spine? You know?
I know. But where Rush gets a pass, okay? You know, and
drug dealer? Yes, he does.
And did you see the apology yesterday?
No, which one?
Rush's.
Oh. One of his left-handed apologies? Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, where he apologized on behalf of Harry Reid. Because, you know, I guess Harry Reid's the one who said phony soldiers. But, no, but they get a pass. What's the little string of letters? I-O-K-I-Y-A-R? It's okay if you're a Republican?
Oh. Well, you know, it's amazing to me. The other day, I saw that on the Today Show, we saw they had Coltergeist on. And I'm sitting there going, how much money are they paying you all to let her on? I mean, dear God, I mean, I'm, you know, do you, I mean, when's the last time you had Mike Malloy on for a morning, guys? You know, I mean, you know, get somebody in there that, you know, it's like, I'm always amazed when I hear people say, well, CNN or somebody says, well, the liberal media, and I'm sitting there going, tell me who. I want somebody to name me a person at CNN that gets an hour that's a liberal. Tell me. You know, when you get the 2 hours a night of Glenn, I once had a haircut, Beck, you know, and who apparently has ratings that are 0.00 just about, but yet CNN keeps him on. In fact, CNN, you notice, of course, that their media critic will not mention Mr. Beck's name.
No. There's a rule about that there.
And, you know, it's just amazing. I'm sitting watching some of that stuff, and you're just kind of going, you know, please tell me the liberal on mainstream TV that gets an hour on a news show. You know, I mean, find me one. I mean, you know, it's just that thing when, like I say, every once in a while, you just, like say, want to go get the, you know, go to the door frame, just start beating the head, start hearing a squishy sound, you know. Because that's all you're doing, just beating your head on the wall any which way sometimes. But, you know, but like I say, this thing with the S-chip, even if we lose, they got to push this to the end. I mean, you know, it's yes or no. I'm sorry if that's what it has to be. But that's what they ought to do, is push it. And it's like if somebody starts saying, well, we got to make a compromise. No, we're pushing this through. If this goes through, Mr. Bush can put something else up. Ain't no playing games with this.
I want to make them eat it.
Yeah.
I absolutely want to make them just hunker down and eat it. But, of course, you know, the White House lives in this psychotic place, Luke. Did you see, read, hear, see?
Which one? They have so many things going on.
Oh, Dana. But Dana Perineal's comments.
Oh.
And I mean, I'm a smoker, okay? I may light one up in a minute. But she said that the S-chip bill was wrong and needed vetoing because it's funded by a cigarette tax, and that most smokers are low-income people, and that therefore this S-chip would be funded by the poor, and that taxing the poor was something that George Bush couldn't countenance.
Well, I'm sorry, Dana, that you all are so afraid that Laura's going to have to pay a little bit more money. But, you know, it's one of these things. It's like between her and old Leatherskin over in the Senate, you know, the boner.
Yeah, in the House.
Oh, in the House, I'm sorry. But you know what I mean? It's like, before I forget, I saw something tonight on the news. I saw that Mr. Domenici has decided he's not running for re-election in New Mexico.
Oh, really? Good.
It's amazing to see all the ones up above on the older, I guess you'd say, senators who see the paint on the wall, and they're going, this is going to be a killing, and we don't want to be on.
Yeah, it's going to be a rat.
Near somebody with the target.
Well, you'd like to hope it's going to be a rat killing. I mean, you know, just a real, you know, scatter shot, run them out of town. But the thing is that's so depressing, I guess, that makes it sort of hard to stomach, Luke, is that while we tend to be wrapped up in the horse race quality and the us versus them nature of it all, we created Slimly, but we created through a lot of hard work by a lot of progressives and a lot of liberals and a lot of forward-thinking people, we created majorities in the House and the Senate both.
Mm-hmm.
And they damned well refused to do anything with it. So, you know, so what if we give them a 60 what if we give the Democrats 62 senators? What if we give 490 seats to the Democrats in the House? When do we get to come home? When do we get the war over? When do
it's that thought. I like every once in a while you hear them say, well, they're keeping their powder dry. I said, water's up above our heads, folks. We ain't breathing.
Well, you know, screw the dry powder when the shorts are wet.
I know. That's what I mean. We're treading water, folks, here. We need to start using that now.
Yeah.
In fact, we've needed you to use it for a while.
Well, you know, powder. That's the other problem. You know, they keep saying they're keeping their powder dry. Yeah, how are we supposed to know that they were talking about face powder and not gunpowder? Baby powder, for God's sakes. I mean,
I know. But, you know, it's one of those things when you sit here sometimes and you watch some of this stuff and you're just kind of going, you know, guys, the polls are coming out. I mean, it's uniform. 70% of the people say, stop it. And it's like, gang, that's good numbers. We can go with that. It's not 51. It's not 55. It's 70. You know what I mean?
And the other side of it is the low congressional approval rating. And they seem to think that their numbers, Luke, will go down more if they start doing the people's business. It's Republicans that are dragging down the congressional numbers.
Oh yeah. Well, have you noticed though on that? Have you noticed the way that like if you go to CNN or someplace when they have one of these votes, Democrats fail to overcome the Republicans. It's not the Republicans blocking it. It's the Democrats are failing.
Yes.
When of course 3 or 4 years ago it was Democrats are blocking any good legislation.
Obstructionist Democrats.
You know, it's one of those things. It's like some of these things. I'm sitting here wondering on all this stuff here now with covering the horse race. You know, it's amazing. Have you heard anything lately about any of the Republicans? I mean, you know, here and there a little story, but I mean, it's like, you know, isn't it amazing? I saw something today, and I believe it was the Washington Post politics talk. Somebody went through and listed all the different scandals going on right now between the people in finance for John McCain, Romney, and Giuliani. And all three of them have people in their finance department, raising their money that are under indictment. But of course, we can't talk about that.
No.
Unless, of course, it's some
fellow. Nothing to see here. Move along. Keep going. Nothing to see.
These aren't the droids you want. Please move along. Oh, can I mention one little quick thing off topic?
Oh, please, go ahead.
You and me, we're both videoholics. Have you noticed almost every show this year is just a repeat of something they've done before?
How so?
Well, let's see. We got the Bionic Woman, which to me is apparently Alias meets Dark Angel. I see we have a new vampire detective show. What's that, about the seventh or eighth one now in the last 10 years or so?
Well, you know, you can never have enough vampire detectives.
But you know what I mean? Most every show, I sat one day just sitting and looked at the listing and went down through them. Like, almost every show they've got, I can go back 3 or 4 years and find you the show that this came from. You know?
Yeah. I hadn't noticed that, but you make a strong case.
So I just went down the list, and I'm sitting there going, I only found like one or two shows to me that were kind of new and different. It's like, guys, somebody down there, turn the brains on, please. And you all wonder why your percentages go down.
It's much easier to recycle stuff than it is to do new.
Well, it's like I said, a friend of mine said the thing right now is I'm upset because most of my shows are ending the cycle because I've been watching the good stuff on cable. You know, been watching The Closer and Saving Grace and
mm-hmm.
Eureka and, you know, all these things. Their seasons are ending. Then we get, like I say, now we're getting the network dribble.
Yeah, brother. Well, it's gotten hard to watch. I just about don't do it anymore.
Well,
with the exception of watching my beloved Mountaineers flush their national championship hopes down the toilet last Friday night.
Oh, please, don't talk to me about that.
I know. Tough year on Rocky Top.
Well, at least the only good thing was that the Rockies won today.
Yeah.
So, we're still watching Todd.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
But it's like, guys, why are we doing this at 3 in the afternoon? Can't we have one of the 7 o'clock games?
I know. Hey, Luke, have yourself a good night. It's good to hear from you, brother. It's been too long.
All right. See you later.
Take care now.
Bye.
Bye. And onward, let's see. We've got there on line one. Hey, who have I got?
Hey, Bob. You got Joe Vecchio.
Hey, Joe Vecchio. What are you doing, brother?
Pretty good. I just got back not too long ago from the job search, so I thought I'd call you up. Yeah, you know, he's right. There's really nothing good on TV. And although I got to admit, we can't get enough vampire stories.
Vampire detectives and, you know, The Bionic Woman is a redo of two, and yet it's a redo of itself. The Bionic Woman, Lindsay, oh God, the Bionic, you know, if, I don't know, maybe Lindsay Wagner will do a guest shot on it, and, you know, the Bionic Granny.
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't put it past them. I mean, they brought back Margot Kidder and Christopher Reeve for Smallville, so.
True.
Until Margot went, this was after she went a little nuts, and of course, before Mr. Reeves passed away, sadly. So, but you know that's the way, and I think it's been that way ever since that writer's strike. That's when they started doing all those reality shows, because you didn't really require writers. And now you've got nothing but reality shows, it seems. And I hate those things; they're awful. So, but I did have something I wanted to talk to you about because I picked a fight with somebody today.
I saw that you did. Did anybody ever tell you the line, Joe, about you'll catch more flies with honey than with vinegar?
How do you know that I picked a fight with a particular person if it was strictly through email?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming that's what the email was about.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I did send you a copy, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And I did send you a copy of it. Yeah, but I got very upset, and I'll bring this out. I got
Did you get a response? I mean, we'll do the backstory in a second. But did you get a response?
Yes, I did get a response, and basically it was the kind of response that I expected. You know, but for those, let's get into the backstory here. So
yeah.
Those who are listening know what's talking.
Yeah. Let's not make this inside baseball.
Right, right. And the thing about it is, and I want to make the point that Glenn Greenwald, I highly respect everything he does. He's a great writer, one of the best we have in the blogosphere. I'm a regular reader of his column on Salon. But recently he had a thing about asking for donations. And that just absolutely infuriated me. Because, look, okay, granted, I don't know how much money he's making, you know, and I'm sure he's not a multimillionaire and stuff like that. But damn it, he gets paid money for doing a column, doesn't he? I mean, so I think I can say with a reasonable amount of certainty that he's not working for free, you know, and that he's not making so little from them that he can't afford to pay his rent and bills. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand.
And you and I have discussed this before, not necessarily about Mr. Greenwald, but about
other
the left in general, about how, you know, dang it, where's my train of thought? About how, you know, they're asking for donations and whether or not are we supporting their ability to do stuff or are we supporting a specific lifestyle?
Are we supporting lobster dinners?
Yeah, exactly. And when I saw that today, just before I went out to look for work, I just blew a fuse. And as much as I respect Glenn Greenwald, I had to let him have it on this. You know, and I'm not going to read the whole letter, but basically, I think he got a lot of nerve asking for donations. You know, when here we are, we're struggling. So,
of course, he doesn't know we exist, Joe. So, you know,
I'm sorry.
I said he doesn't know we exist.
He doesn't know we exist, and of course he doesn't. But maybe he knows now. And he wrote back to me, basically saying, "Well, you know, if people don't think you're worth anything, they won't donate." So I just wrote back to him and I said, "I challenge you to call Bob Kincaid at the show, and you tell him that what he's been doing these last 2 years has been worthless." You know, and we'll see if he takes it. Maybe he will. And I said, you know, if it sounds like I'm picking a fight with you, well, maybe I am, if for no other reason than because this information has to get out and we have to stop doing this. We need to really recognize the infrastructure that needs to be built. So I'm trying to do it as much of a respectful way as possible, but it's really difficult for me to do that when, you know, I see these guys who, and again, I'm not thinking he's making $1 billion off of this,
And look, it's a razor's edge, Joe. I mean, on the one hand, I like his writing. He's a fine writer. He's got great ideas. There's a small handful of people whose writing I really, really respect, and he's one of them. David Sirota is one of them. But it's a fine line. You know, I'd love to have some positive mention from these people because I don't want their money.
Right.
I want to build an audience for the conversation. Okay, whether it's me, you, John, Peter, the guy, Mark, I want to build the conversation.
And you know me, Bob. You know me. I'm a very self-depreciating person. You've heard me talk about my show every time in private. Oh, I thought that last show sucked. That was awful. And you keep telling me otherwise, and sometimes I believe you, sometimes I don't.
And sometimes you wind up in a corner, huddled up in a fetal position with your thumb in your mouth. It happens to me all the time.
That's pretty much, you know, how how I go about job interviews now. That was my last interview, actually. No, I'm just kidding. Huddled in the corner in a fetal position. You like a lollipop?
Yeah.
You like a lollipop, Mr. Vecchio?
Yeah, we got a popsicle.
But I just think it's important that maybe it's important to pick a fight. Maybe this sort of, and again, not in a personal animosity towards the way, but maybe just to let everybody know, say, hey, damn it, we're out here, and we've been doing this for 2 damn years. And, you know, we're all struggling, and the world's doing it, and you're having lobster dinners. You know, and I watch Atrios, and I look at him post the pictures of dinners at restaurants that he's having, and you know how I feel about Marcos. What do I keep saying? He pulls in at least $1.5 million a year in ads alone. I don't even know if he asks for donations anymore. I'm sure he gets something. And yet, you know, yearly coast, which, granted, he doesn't have anything to do with him.
But listen, you bring up something that I had wanted to mention earlier, and this is an excellent opportunity to talk about it. You know, we signed up with an organization called Blog Ads. There at the headonradionetwork.com site. You know, John Fox maintains the website for us. And we
a great job he does. Too.
And a great job. Everybody. John, you know, my God, our moderators in the chat room, ELO, our news ninjas, you know, Susan and Gene. There's not a soul that's associated with this network that shouldn't be pulling down at least $75,000 a year, period. Okay, that's just how it is. But anyway,
wait.
Don't put my train off on a siding, okay? Because I'm still on the train. I haven't lost it. So we're signed up with Blog Ads. And we've got a listener who's got a blog ad up there of a program that would be literally save you. And you know, this isn't snake oil. This isn't vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls. These are things that really matter, things that really count. A means of where people with mortgages can literally save thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars off of their mortgage. And it's not a con. It's not a gimmick. It's not a scam. It's not a scheme. It's just common sense. And I'm hoping people will click on it and click the ad and find out about it and sign up for it. Okay? Because it's good. It is good and good for them. If I had a mortgage, I'd be doing it. Lucky me, I don't. On the other hand, out of the clear blue sky, we've got an ad from Move on the site now. About their new video regarding, Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader.
Good for them.
I'm glad
they're participating more. Along
that dirty freak that needs to be run out of office and run out of town on a rail wearing tar and feathers, as far as I'm concerned. He's an evil old bastard, McConnell is. And we very much need for people, when these ads show up on the website at headonradionetwork.com, we need people to, and you know, it's something you can do that doesn't cost you any money. Click the damn ad. Go and watch the Move On video. Because when they see the numbers coming back, they'll want to stay involved with us.
Right, exactly.
And that's one of those things.
I've clicked it 5 times since we started talking.
Okay. Good for you. But you see what I'm talking. You understand what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
And you know, frankly, to get noticed by Move On, you know, I'd love that. Because again, that's a way of building audience. And it's audience building. You know, we've got to have a certain amount of money to keep running, Joe. But if we build audience, then we can take the next step. You know, the theme for tonight's the prayer meeting edition, I guess, that just sort of roared out of my mouth at the beginning of the program, is climb or die. Climb or die. We cannot go back down the hill. We cannot stand still. We climb or we die. We have got to make, you know, we've got to continue to go forward. We've got to build audience. We've got to offer more and different media. Climb or die. And that's the choice that we're faced with, Joe.
Well, you're absolutely right. That's what I'd say. Can't argue with that. And you know, maybe we can get some awareness through Move On, and maybe I can get Glenn Greenwald and others to realize the value of what we do here so that maybe they'll put a few ads up. You know, and what do I do on my show? What am I trying to do? Do I ask for donations? I do sometimes, but what I try to do is get people to buy an ad. And is my show worthless that it's not worth a $5 ad? And that, you know, how does that make me feel on a personal level? You know, I've been doing the radio show, either pre-recorded by myself or with a partner for about, what, 3 or 4 years now. And I don't think all the work that I've done has been useless. I would have loved to have kept on doing the Cup of Joe report. You know, those things took me about an hour and a half to put together. A lot of people don't realize that it's only a 2-minute long thing, but I had to figure out what I want to talk about, and everything had to be worded precisely so that I can get it in exactly 2 minutes, or a minute and 45 seconds, counting the bump. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
So that was a lot of work, and, you know, it would be a little easier for me if I had an environment where I could do it without, you know, stressing out about, you know, oh my God, I gotta go to a job, or I gotta go look for a job. It would just make things a little easier. And none of us are asking to be multimillionaires. We're not looking to make huge profits off it. We just want to be self-sustaining so that we can continue the fight. And that's so that, you know.
And I'll be honest, Joe. I've got a motive that's not ulterior, but a motive beyond all of that. I don't know how to give it any better expression than what I've been saying. But you know, back in the day when I watched television, it was all right wing. Or if I would drive from here to Charleston and turn on the radio, it's all right wing. And frankly, I don't believe that America is that fully fascist. Okay? I believe that there are people out there who want to carry on conversations, who want to talk about our problems, who want to deal with the issues of the day in some other fashion than a bunch of damn sloganeering and jingos and I believe in a culture of life. I believe that people want that conversation. Either I'm right or I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, you know, we'll find out in the long run. But I'm sincerely convinced that I am correct in this assessment. And more than anything else, I want to be part of fostering that dialogue. I want to be part of fostering the discussion. I want to be part of building the community, a community of a hopeful community, not a community that's beaten down and downtrodden and worn out and fatigued with anxiety and anger and hurt and pain, but a community that can sustain itself and give and give uplift to each other. I want that desperately. I want it worse than money. I want it worse than fame. I want to make things better so that when I breathe out and don't breathe in again, I can do so knowing that the time I spent on this little blue-green time machine hurtling through the universe was time that by some objective standard can be said to have been well spent. Sorry, off soapbox now.
No. That's pretty much the way I feel. I mean, I like I said, you know me, I'm very self-appreciating, but there are times when I look at my life and I think, you know, my entire life has been pretty much a waste, you know, and it makes it very, very difficult for me because I think, you know, and speaking on a personal level to be egotistical, I happen to think I do a pretty good job on my show, especially when you consider how little work I have to put into it before the show, that I can just go on and talk about a subject for 15, 20 minutes before we go to a break and not sound like I'm a complete and total idiot. I mean, a lot of people think, oh, it's radio, it's easy, but I've seen a lot of people freeze up in front of a microphone. So, and I don't think that the stuff that I do is worthless. And me, you know, obviously I'm not good at marketing and I'm not good at promoting. I'm a good order follower if someone says, well, you need to do this to do this, you know, or I need you to record this for me, I can go ahead and do it. But like I've been saying, you know, I'm not a Herb Tarlick. Maybe I need to try to become a Herb Tarlick, but that's not where my strengths lie. So, you know, it's just all boiled down to, it's nothing personal against Mr. Greenwald, who I happen to have a lot of respect for. It's just a question of, how can he be asking people for money? How can any of these guys be asking people for money when they're pulling in so much, and even if Greenwald isn't pulling in $1.5 million a year like Marcos is, and it's probably more than that. I'm being very conservative about that. The fact of the matter is that he's doing pretty well, and I'm pretty certain of it. I mean, I'm pretty certain that he's not having to worry about paying his rent and bills. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. Of course. There's another line of thinking here, Joe, and that is that not everybody thinks like us. You know, we will freely sit here and say, look, we don't want to be millionaires. We just want to pay the damn bills. There are people who want to be millionaires, Joe.
Well, I don't know if Glenn even wants that. I don't know if Mr. Greenwald even wants that. To be a millionaire. I don't know if he wants to be that at all. But you know, I really think it's disingenuous to sit here and for him to sit there and say, well, if people think what you're doing is worthwhile, they'll donate money. That's not necessarily the case because, you know, the people who listen to my show and the people who listen to any of the shows on the Head-On Network, for the most part, are people like us who are all already on the financial edge. And it's I don't want to say it's wrong for us, but I certainly feel bad asking for donations from people who are very...
Well, first of all, Joe, let me stop you for just a second, okay? I got a lecture on this, and I took it to heart. I don't ever want to hear the word donation come out of your mouth again. Okay? I just don't. and I try not to use it either. Because donations are something that someone solicits who is just sitting there and not doing anything. Donations are something you get even though you're doing nothing in return. Okay? That is not the case with the Horn. That is not the case with any single program on the Horn. That's not the case with any single host on the Horn. It's not the case with anybody associated with the Horn. We're doing. We're making. We're out there providing something. And I will never again call this a donation. Call it a contribution. Call it support. But you know what? When you say donation, you make it seem as though we're asking people to give money for nothing.
Right. I agree. I understand.
And, you know, and like I said, I'm in a quandary. I want desperately to be able to write a check every month to everybody on the network. Right now, the month of September, it's just a fact. We set a goal of $2,000 a month to cover all of our expenses. The month of September, we got a little over $1,000. If we don't make the $2,000 goal for October, then that pretty much means we're done at the end of November. We are living from hand to mouth. And it's just that simple.
And it's not like, you know, it's not like you have other sources of income coming in.
No. We took everything we had. Wayne poured thousands of dollars into this operation. Then we got $15,000 to get us started from the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. One time we got that. Never again. That was more than 2 years ago. That money's been long gone. What savings I had and Agnes had has gone into this. We have made paupers of ourselves in order to create this. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in desperate straits. We kind of are too. But I'm not going to sit here and tell people, you know, we need you guys to pony up $5,000. So that we can have a better life. Go to the movies once in a while, eat steak instead of beans. I'm not going to do that. Not so long as everybody else is pouring their heart and their soul into this operation for essentially nothing.
Well, you know, as I've been saying, I can get by my basic expenses right now. I could get by with $1,000 a month. Okay.
Yeah.
That covers my rent, my bills, and just enough for food. Okay? Nothing fancy. I won't even be enough to buy furniture. I'm actually, you know, I don't want to say I'm perfectly content, but you know, I've got my air mattress, which is leaking a little bit now, but still, like, you know, I fill it up every night so that it's fairly sturdy, so it doesn't fall apart until I wake up in the morning. And you know, I don't need to get very much. Although, you know, if I had $500, And you know, if I had all my other bills paid off, if I had $500, there's a place down the street that sells used hotel furniture. And for $500, delivery included, I can have an entire bedroom set delivered. Okay? And it wouldn't be anything fancy, but it would be better than an air mattress. Okay? We're not asking for a lot. You know, a lot of people think it's, you know, and a lot of people on the left in general think it's disingenuous even to touch money. So, except for, of course, for a few people who already have lots of it. You know, how dare you dirty yourself with money? So I'll have some more grape upon mustard. Thank you very much.
Indeed.
So, you know, but you're right. We're not looking for that. We just want to keep fighting the fight. And one of the things that I told Mr. Greenwald, I said, look, the way these fights are going, the way things are going in this country, you know, you and Marcos and Duncan, you guys are going to be the richest people in Gitmo.
Yeah, I noticed that line. I thought that was a nice shot, but yeah.
Well, you know, I guarantee you, the Bush administration is not going to be concerned with you on the left if you have a little bit of money. They'll throw your ass in jail in a heartbeat. The president's already pretty much got the authority to say anybody who he thinks is a terrorist is going to get tossed in jail. He's done that to U.S. citizens as well as non-U.S. citizens. And if there's, you know, if we go to war in Iran, God forbid, if there's another terrorist attack in this country, that they will undoubtedly allow, because it will just further cement their hold on.
Look, not if, when. There will be another. There will be some kind of an attack in this country. Jesus Christ, long before there was Osama bin Laden plotting to fly planes into buildings, and we'll leave the 9/11 debate alone on that, there was Timothy McVeigh.
Mm-hmm.
Right-wing, Christian, extremist, fascist, whatever-ist of the right, and that was Oklahoma City.
And we're already seeing
David Koresh wasn't exactly a wild-eyed liberal.
Yeah, that's
okay. what's his name? Eric Rudolph. Again, there's a terrorist, pure and simple, right-wing terrorist. The anthrax killer, Joe. How about the anthrax killer?
Well, that's been wonderfully ignored by the people who are mainly threatened by.
So you know, there will. It's not if there's another. There will be another. The question is, will it be another terrorist attack perpetrated by the radical religionists of a Middle Eastern stripe, or will it be another terrorist attack propagated by radical religionists of the American Christian variety?
And if it gets that bad, do you think they will hesitate for a minute to throw Mr. Marcos and Mr. Atrios, Glenn Greenwald, to throw them all in jail? Would they hesitate for a minute? Because we've already seen the beginnings of a police state here. Look at what happened to that kid at Florida State.
Yeah, don't tase me, bro.
And what's the name? That reverend who was just trying to get in to see General Petraeus?
Got his leg broken.
And I saw the video of that. Were there like 9 or 10 cops around this guy?
Oh, yeah.
You think they had enough guys? You know? We're already seeing the beginnings of it. And who is it? There was one guy who was just writing an article about it. Said it's just a matter of time before the next attack comes, when they can use this police state that they've been patiently, slowly building up. Because, you know, you can't throw the frog in boiling water.
They don't come overnight. You know, what year did Hitler... Oh, boy. Okay, see, we've violated Godwin's law now. What year did Hitler become Chancellor of Germany?
That was like the 20s, wasn't it?
No, it was 1933.
1933.
It took him 6 years before... there were three years to Kristallnacht, 6 years to Poland. You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Now do the math. How long's Bush been in office?
Oh, he's been for 7 years now.
Does it tell you anything?
Mm-hmm.
The progress, the progress of a police state. Again, you can't throw the frog in the boiling water.
Well, you know, when you watch the documentaries, and I think people have inured to it by now, you think it's automatically, you know, here's Germany, happy. Oh, here's the Nazis. Like it all happened in one day.
And now the Nazis.
And now the Nazis, ladies and gentlemen, the Nazis.
Oh, God.
So it didn't happen. Yeah, you're right. It didn't happen overnight. I keep trying to tell people, your money's not going to be worth anything if they get more power. And so if I'm picking, and I apologize personally to Mr. Greenwald if he feels like he's been insulted. But you know something? Maybe some of these people need to be insulted to understand what the actual situation is. What we going to be doing... will that be helping that much? Well, maybe it will and maybe it won't. Okay, I'm not going to say that we're going to be I'm going to be the left-wing's answer to Rush Limbaugh, or you're going to be the left-wing's answer to Neil Bortz or whatever. But the point is, if you had more information out there, and it was handled by people, and enough people listened to it on a daily, regular basis, there'd be a little bit more dissent in this country. And we may have already passed the point where we're so irrelevant anymore, and they're just biding their time. So if Mr. Greenwald feels a little insulted, I'm very sorry, but that's the reality of the situation, and you have to learn to understand that it's not all about just writing a blog, because blogs are already preaching to the converted anyway, preaching to the choir to begin with.
Yeah. Well, Joe, I've got a couple of folks lined up behind you, so I'm going to try to catch those phone calls before we hit the top of the hour.
My apologies for rambling.
No, never apologize, and it wasn't rambling. It's a conversation.
So, listen, Bob, you take care, and if you do get a phone call from Glenn Greenwald, you let him know I said hi, okay?
I sure will.
Bye-bye, Bob.
Take care, Joe. Our good friend Joe Vecchio. The show's on hiatus right now, but it will return as we revamp the schedule, probably as a late-night program, which I think you guys might actually enjoy more Anyway, okay. Here's the magic of not having anyone answering the phone. Let's find out if there's anybody here. Hey, who have I got?
Hey, Bob, it's Steady.
Hey, Steady. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Just working into the third week and got off work a little early out here in Christmas Valley, Oregon, and I was listening for a while there to your conversation with Joe, and you do facilitate the conversation and have, and if the contributions can be recognized that they're needed for your hard work, by all means, anybody could send that in. I, unfortunately, at this point, I've got a job out here, but I can't contribute at the moment, but I can talk it up. And
that's what you're doing. And you know, we don't want anybody to hurt themselves or to put themselves in any sort of a precarious position. But for those who can't, yeah, talk us up. Do what you're doing, Steady. You know, tell people what's going on here. Tell them what we're trying to do.
I'm getting in a position where I'm actually going to have, you know, be able to do that. I put myself out in town every day, and I got a job out here. And just on a positive note and a kind of a fun thing, Christmas Valley Golf Club first annual tournament, we shot low round, and it came out in the paper. So I got my picture in the paper for winning the golf tournament with a guy, Garrett Braun, and another guy named Guy.
Was it a scramble or best ball or what?
Yes, it was a four-man scramble. And Garrett Braun had played on the Nationwide Tour and the Hooters Tour, so it was really, we had the advantage. So the group that came in one shot behind us must have played some phenomenal golf. Our final was a 63.
Sweet.
Yeah. 10 birdies, 1 bogey, no mulligans. You could buy mulligans, but we didn't buy any.
Well, cool. Congratulations.
Yeah, and I'm attending the Parks and Recs meeting out here, which is essentially the city council, and we're doing small things at the airport and little businesses around town. You know, I just started pulling weeds and gathering materials to build the ag house or ranch house, if you will, or an agricultural zone. And this is considered frontier, not rural residential. It's considered the frontier. We're out here. And I'm keeping in touch through the phone. I don't have my internet connection, and it actually looks farther away than I thought before. But Bob, bless you for all you're doing, and Agnes, and all the hosts, all of them. And I don't think any of you want to be millionaires. I think you all want to just keep contributing and facilitating the conversation, and I am truly thankful for everyone who helps in various ways.
Steady, you've got an awesome, awesome spirit, and we do sincerely appreciate it.
I appreciate you and Agnes and everyone else, Bob. Hello to everybody, and bless you. Have a great afternoon, evening.
All right, thanks, Steady. You take care. Work safe. Bye now.
I will. Bye-bye.
Our good friend Steady, Michael Stettler. Out in Christmas Valley, Oregon. Just a heck of a guy. A heck of a guy. Okay, and we'll try one more. And hey, you know, third time's a charm. We've actually had calls. You know, it wasn't the beep, 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 beep thing. So, you know, you never know. Hey, who have I got? Ah, see? Dadgummit. I do. It just drives me crazy. But, you know, it's what we've got to do now that this is a one-man operation. So, you know, what are you going to do? Cry? Climb or die! Climb or die! So, you know, that's where that is. In all seriousness, though, what I mentioned with Joe, I'm not one for, you know, giving marching orders or begging or asking you to do anything. But it would be sincerely helpful if you would go to the network website, headonradionetwork.com, and click and have a look at a couple of blog ads that are there. The Move On ad, go watch the video. I mean, educate yourself a little bit about what a dirty sleaze bucket Mitch McConnell is. It costs you nothing to do. But when they look at their web traffic and they say, and they see that a few thousand people, a few tens of thousands of people viewed their ad from our website, they'll realize that we are a force to be reckoned with. and it costs you nothing to do it. And you will be helping us in a material way that is quite surprising and can be quite quite energizing. Because the way blog ads work, it's kind of complicated even for me. But, you know, there are statistics. And when they see that their ads are effective and that their ads are viewed on our site, then that means we get more ads, which means we get paid, which is a good thing. Our ads are cheap right now. They're dirt cheap. And as a function of that, we're hoping to generate some buzz. So, you know, to the extent that I can, you know, ask you to do something, I'm asking you to go click on the save money on your mortgage ad, and I'm asking you to go click on the move on ad. Please. Okay? Because it is a big boon for us. And it's a big help. Now, we've had some mention of the S-chip thing, and I don't know how much more can be said about it. I've told you this issue is almost too visceral for me to be able to comment on, because it speaks directly to my little family, to my kids, Agnes's kids, our little family. And George Bush today made a determination that my children, my God, when the light goes on for you and you realize what he said with his actions, never mind the pronouncements from Dana Perineal. I call her Perineal because she taint Tony Snow and she taint Ari Fleischer and she taint Scott McClellan. She's Dana Perineal. She's taint. Rednecks and hillbillies and such will understand the meaning of that phrase, and many others maybe as well. But never mind what she said. With his actions, George W. Bush said that he thinks that my children have no value, have no human worth. George W. Bush, by his actions today, said that my children are just as well dead. Now, maybe I'm over-personalizing it, because make no mistake, it wasn't just my children that he thinks are just as well dead. Every poor child in America is just as well dead to George Bush. And not just poor kids, middle-class kids, because, see, that was the crux of the matter. This was going to extend the coverage up to a family of four making $80,000 a year. $80,000 is not that much money. It's a hell of a lot more than I got, but, you know, I've lived large in my past life. It still doesn't go that far, especially, you know, when the taxes and so forth and Social Security and the payroll tax and yada, yada, yada. $80,000 doesn't go that far. You're not out living the high life on $80,000. You're still paying your bills. And by the time you factor in things like homeowner's insurance and auto insurance and the car payment, and the mortgage payment, and groceries, and what happens when you need the new set of tires, or what happens when the refrigerator finally gives up the ghost, or the freezer, or what happens when you find out you need a new roof, or the heat pump goes out. It's not that much money. And you still have to have tough conversations, even at $80,000 a year. Tough conversations about what gets paid and what doesn't, and what comes first and what comes next, and what doesn't get done at all. George W. Bush said today that every child of every family making $80,000 or less can just go to hell. And that makes words, that makes the words just freeze in my throat. I can't tell you what, I can tell you what I would do if somebody was standing and looking me in the eye and telling me that my children can just as well go to hell for all he cares. I can tell you, and I don't have to tell you, you know what would happen in that instance. Not because you know me to be a brawler or violent. You know me to be exactly the opposite. But you know what you yourself would do. Answer that question. Tell me. Call me. I want to know. I want to hear it out of your mouth. If somebody looked you in the eye and said, your children can just as well die for all I care. Your children don't need medical care when they're sick. Your children don't deserve medical care when they're sick. Your children can drop dead for all I care. What would you do? How would you feel? What would you say to the sleazy son of a bitch, the rotten rat-ass bastard who said something as awful as that to you about your children? What would you do? Newsflash. He said it today to you. He said it to me. He said it to us. He said it to the entire nation. What will you do? And yet, there are Republicans in the House of Representatives. Children don't need that health care. We need to send more money to Iraq. What would you do? How am I supposed to feel? I look at the glow of life in my children's eyes, and I see the warmth of pride they take when they learn something new and they master something. I see the excitement in my eighth grader's eyes when the light goes on about the y equals mx plus b and the line slope formula. I see all of that. And I know that sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue in Washington, D.C., there is a heartless, rotten, stinking, filthy, pathetic, exquisite excuse for a member of the human race who thinks that those little miracles that happen every day for my children don't matter worth a damn. I am battling with the very depths of my existence not to haul out the F-bomb. With a red-hot poker, George Bush. With a red-hot poker. A white-hot poker. A blistering hot poker, George Bush. For what you think of my children. For what you think of the children of this entire country. But you're pro-life, and you want to work for the snowflake babies. Screw you, George! Screw you to pieces! And your little wife, too. Screw you! Sorry, a little over the top, maybe. Let me calm down for a minute, please. That's a good idea. We will, take a break. We'll take a break. We'll do the news, and we'll come back. I sincerely want to hear your thoughts on it, because it makes me so mad that I think I've got broken blood vessels in my eyes right now. This is America's liberal voice. This is a voice of a parent. I'm Bob Kincaid, and this is The Horn.
Your yes, tell them everything. This is the Quality News Network. President Bush today vetoed a bill which would provide health insurance to more than 10 million children, up from the current 6.6 million. He said it moves the country's health care system in the wrong direction. Congress may pass legislation that closes a loophole that allows private security contractors in Iraq immunity from criminal prosecution. The private security forces, such as Blackwater, protect State Department personnel in Iraq. Bombs targeted the convoy of the Polish ambassador to Iraq today, wounding him. The attack took place in central Baghdad and is being called an assassination attempt. Poland has about 1,000 troops in Iraq. Sudanese forces blocked former President Jimmy Carter from visiting a Darfur refugee camp. The 83-year-old got into a shouting match with troops, insisting they had no power to stop him. His Secret Service detail convinced him to leave. Carter said his goal is free and fair elections in the country in 2009. According to a joint six-nation statement, North Korea has agreed to dismantle all of its nuclear facilities by the end of this year. In return, the communist government will receive fuel oil or economic aid. In Myanmar, a UN worker and three of her family members were taken into custody during overnight government raids on dozens of homes. Troops dragged people from their beds in yet another phase of the crackdown against a massive pro-democracy movement in that country. The Associated Press reports that next week the U.S. government will conduct the largest terrorism exercise in its history. It will consist of three imaginary dirty bombs going off in two major U.S. cities and Guam. Investigators will try to determine how five workers were killed in an accident yesterday at a Georgetown, Colorado hydroelectric plant. They initially survived a chemical fire but died before rescuers could reach them 1,000 feet below ground. In South Africa, Harmony Gold says 3,200 of its miners are trapped underground. A spokesperson for the company says an electrical cable on an elevator broke. Harmony is the world's fifth largest producer of gold. Testifying before a congressional panel, family members of those killed in the Crandall Canyon mine cave-in testified their loved ones voiced numerous safety concerns about that mine. Yesterday, a federal coal mine safety administrator said inspectors knew there were problems. This is QNN.
Living our lives in a civil fashion is a declaration of intent. It says we are ready to put our better selves forward for the well-being of the community. It's like romance. When you fall in love, you are on your best behavior. The delight in making a loving connection with someone brings out the best in us, naturally. It is natural to acknowledge our fellow human beings with a nod of the head or a smile, to show them the respect we would want them to show us. The more we are civil with strangers and with those who already know us, the healthier a spirit we create for ourselves, for each other, and the surrounding community. George Washington, the founder of a great nation, declared, "Every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present." Civility is essential to community health. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
A survey by the National Sleep Foundation finds that about 23% of American couples sleep apart. They say it's because of a partner snoring or other disruptions. A Canadian study finds 34% of couples sleep in separate beds. Government data shows that in August, nearly 30% of flights were delayed. It's the worst August on-time report in the 13 years of record-keeping. There was also an increase in customer complaints about the airlines. A trade group reports that the U.S. service economy grew at a slower pace in September than in August. The U.S. Postal Inspection Service announced that there have been 77 arrests recently as part of an international crackdown on email scams involving phony lottery wins or inheritances. Arrests were made in the Netherlands, Nigeria, and Canada. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan now says because of the credit crisis and problems with the subprime mortgage sector, he expects there will be a slowdown of U.S. economic growth. He said the odds of a recession in the U.S. are between a third and a half. Gold is trading at $735.70 an ounce. Light sweet crude is at $79.94 a barrel. The Dow closed down 80 points at 13,967. The NASDAQ was also down 18 points at 2729. The S&P was down 7. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Chrisson.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Okay. Agnes heard me yelling my fool head off and came in just to make sure that, you know, I hadn't burst a blood vessel in my eye. Sort of patted me on my pointy little head and said, "There, there, dear, there, there. I love you. You love our kids. I love our kids. George Bush can go to hell. There, there, dear, there, there." Thank you, Agnes. Thank you. Okay, so we'll go straight to the phones. Mike is calling from Woodstock, New York. I haven't heard from Mike in a while. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well. Recently discovered the joys of walking long distances and hitchhiking as my grease car had to go into the shop for an operation.
How is the grease car?
I think it's going to be okay. It had a very rare problem, which was a fuel pump. In a normal car, would be fine, but it happens to be a 1986 BMW diesel. So finding that part took a long time. The BMW dealer wanted $2,000 for the part. I paid $8,000 for the car. So I finally found a users group on Yahoo or whatever, and I found the part. So it's being put in. I might get it back tomorrow. In the meantime, I've been hitchhiking and walking long distances. It's been actually very interesting.
Any revelations? Samsara?
This is the way most people in the world get around, you know, is by foot or bum a ride somehow. And I think I was just feeling kind of a brotherhood with the people who don't have the money to have a car. I think that's kind of what America's going to look like in a few years, honestly. I don't think there's anything anybody can do anymore to stop the inevitable collapse of United States civilization. I think it's been predicted by some wise people over the years, including the Mayans, that around 2012 things were going to kind of fall apart. And a new age was going to begin, but it was going